So this week in Advent, we're looking at the theme of joy. And our theme of Christmas is the Christmas promise. And the Christmas promise this week is the promise of joy. And if you kind of want a starting phrase for this morning, it's this. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? I mean, we read it several ways, can't we? What are you waiting to receive? What are you waiting upon? But also, what are you waiting for? Go and do it. Get out there. And joy is about reminding us that what we're waiting for. That there's, in the waiting on God, joy develops. And out of that joy, it inspires us into action and to do things. As we come to these readings this morning, I'll put them on the screen if you're making notes. These are the three readings we've read this morning. I'm going to focus mainly on Matthew and Isaiah. As we come to these particular passages, I want to kind of put them in the context of those 3 points from a few weeks ago about position, posture, and purpose. And last week, Steve did a great job of talking about how we find peace and looking at those three things again in the context of thinking about how we find peace in repentance. But this week, I want us to think about this. You see, in this story, from Matthew's Gospel, we've got John the Baptist, and he's been out preaching about Jesus. He's been preaching that Jesus is coming, and there's going to be a transformation of the world. And then he finds himself banged up in prison, and he's starting to have a few doubts about maybe what he thought was going to happen isn't what's happening. And so he sends his followers off to Jesus to say, Jesus, are you the Messiah? Or actually, did we get it wrong? Is there someone coming who's after you? Actually, are you the person that I thought I was? And he's there doubting, he's not sure. You see, he's been robbed of life because he's now in prison. The life that he thought, the hope that he had, the joy that he had, has been robbed from him because he's now in prison. He's been trapped into a place where he's away from what's going on with Jesus. When we come to the Isaiah passage, it talks about streams bubbling up in the desert. But it talks about the desert place. The desert place is a place where there's no life. It's robbed of life by the heat. It scorches everything. And as we then come to think about posture, in these passages, what happens is the posture of doubt that John has means that he is robbed of hope. He's robbed of peace. He's robbed of joy. He's robbed of these things which are so critical in our lives. In the desert, it's just so dry. The posture is dryness. And sometimes in the Christian walk, if you're on that journey, you just feel dry sometimes. Just really, really dry. And then doubt creeps in. And he's thinking, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? What's this journey about? I hope I'm not the only one who just feels dry sometimes and just feels like, oh, I just need like a bucket of Jesus over me just to freshen me up. And the last one is about purpose is that John feels his purpose is lost. He knew what he was about. He knew he was the one to preach that Jesus was coming, and now he's in prison. He can't do that anymore. And now he's thinking maybe Jesus is the one who's called to call in the Messiah. He's lost his purpose. He's lost who he is. He's been robbed of direction in his life. In the desert, there's nothing there. If you're lost in the desert, it's hopeless. There's no direction. Where do you go? Where do you go to find what you need in the desert? So think about these three things. As we come to these passages, what we see is things that are so relevant in our own lives. That so often we can feel robbed of life. Circumstances in our life mean we think, I've been robbed of something. Something's been taken away. It could be a person in your life who you've lost. It could be a situation that's happened where the expectations that you had of your future are no longer there. It could be so many things this morning that you're thinking, actually, I feel like this life's been robbed from me. Maybe you feel that you've just been robbed of hope. Maybe you long to be joyful, you long to be full of hope, but actually you're just finding it really hard. You just feel robbed of those things. Those things are no longer part of your life. Maybe they used to be, but now they're just not there. Maybe last this morning you're here and you're just thinking, I've just lost my sense of direction. I just don't know where I'm going. Like, I turn up, you know, every day I get up and I do things, but there's no sense of purpose to my life. There's no sense of direction. There's no sense of a way that I'm going in my life this morning. And a few weeks ago I said, the hope of Christmas, the promise of Christmas hope, is that things can change. Things can change. And the Christmas story is about the promise that things can change. And the promise this morning is, the promise is that God is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that is the promise of Christmas, that God comes into our situation, he comes into our world to be present with us, to reveal himself to us. As a consequence of meeting him, suddenly those things that we feel robbed of suddenly become places of life-giving springs of water. We hear that passage from Isaiah, and as Maggie read it this morning, I was just going, I'm just getting more and more excited. Yes! It's bubbling up. Things are going to change. Things are going to happen. The streams and the water are bubbling up. You see, when God is Emmanuel, when the promise is Emmanuel, what we see is this. That our position changes, because our position is that God is with us. We're not far from him. We are close to him. He makes himself close to us. Our posture is that God is at work. It's not the fact that we have no hope, that there is no joy. The hope and the joy and the peace and the love and all those things that Advent is about come from the fact that God is at work. Even if we forget it, he is at work. He is active. I used to say to my friends when I was training at college, we looked back over our 3 years and went, wow, God's been busy. And at the time, it felt so slow. It was like this process of drawn out of kind of like called spiritual formation. It's horribly painful. And then sometimes you just think, why am I doing this? But then when I look back over those 3 years, I thought, God just hasn't stopped, has he? He's just been constantly doing stuff. And then when you look back, you can just see how God is busy. He's not a God who's not active. He's always active in our lives, whether we choose to see it or not. He's always busy. And that's what the response of Jesus is to John. John says, I'm not sure anymore. I feel robbed of my direction, of my hope, of my life. And he sends his disciples to Jesus, and Jesus says to them, go back and tell him what you see is happening. Sometimes we say, take a moment to sit back and just look and go, God, what are you doing? And when you look at it, you go, actually, there's quite a lot going on here. But the thing about Jesus and the thing about God, and the thing about John that he was struggling with, is that what Jesus was doing wasn't fulfilling his expectations of what he thought a Messiah should do for him. So often we can't see what God is doing in our lives because we're waiting for him to do something different to what he's actually doing. So you're waiting for something that's never going to happen. So go back to the, what are you waiting for? If you're waiting for the wrong thing, you're saying, God, I want you to do what I want you to do, rather than saying, God, what are you doing and how is that going to lead me into a new direction? How's it going to lead me into a new path? How's it going to lead me into newness of life? And the purpose that we have is that God's got a path and he's got a way for our life. At the end of that Isaiah passage, it says, there's a highway being built. There's a road, a direct road. What's this talking about? Well, the idea was that to travel to Jerusalem, if you were a Hebrew, every year you travel up to Jerusalem for the three pilgrim feasts, and there you'd come and worship God. Now, to travel to Jerusalem, it's an absolute nightmare, because it's really, really hilly everywhere. And so to get there, you'd have to go round and about, and you'd have to go through the deserts, and you have to go this place and that place. It's not a direct route. And what he's saying is, no longer you have to travel on this bizarre journey to try and get to God. He's saying, there's a direct highway. There's a path you can take where it's straight there. And you can be straight into the presence of God before you know it. There's a path and a direction. And God's saying, I want you to get on that road. I want you to get on that journey with me. See, if you've lost your joy this morning, if you're feeling, actually, I don't have any joy in me. And joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness is your emotional response. Joy is something that goes on in your spirit and in your heart. Which is why the book of James can say, count everything joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And what it's saying is that basically, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. To put it in, colloquial language, it's this whole thing of going, actually, you can still have joy in the midst of things that are going seemingly wrong or seemingly hard. Why? Because the truth of the Christmas joy is that God's close. And it doesn't matter how bad things get, God's close. He's nearby. That you can know your God. And so the highway in the desert that is coming, saying you can get directly into the presence of God. Doesn't matter where you are, what situation you're in, there's a place where you can get straight into the presence of God. You can get on the journey in the path. Well, left college, I was told one thing. Pete, just stay in the game. No matter how hard it gets in ministry, just stay in the game. Because a natural response when things get hard is to run away. Go, oh, it's got a bit hard now, I'm going to walk away from this. But actually, when you just stay in the game, when you just stay on the road, get back on that road, just keep going on that road, things are transformed, things change. And in Isaiah it's saying, the road, the highway, the path, when you get on that road, it's like there's springs of water. It's new life springing up. There's new things that are transformed. But sometimes you just got to grit your teeth and stay in the game to see that transformation, to see that happen. Our reading from James this morning that was read says, sometimes it's like a farmer being patiently waiting for the crop to grow. He knows there's going to be a crop. It's not right now. There sometimes has to be a time of waiting and patience before we see the fullness of the fruit that God is growing. And the Bible talks about how joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something God just goes, da-da, there's now joy. That joy is something that you cultivate in your life. And how do you cultivate it? You cultivate it by spending time with God. Two passages that I absolutely love, because they go together hand in hand, and they give me so much joy and hope. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life, that path again. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. He's saying, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. So the promise of Christmas is that God has come into the world, therefore because he's present with us, we now have a joy. We can find something exciting. There's a transformation that can take place. We can find a joy in the fact that God is present with us. It goes back to the whole positioning. Where are you positioned? Are you positioning yourself far away from God? Or are you positioning yourself close to him in your life? Because no point positioning yourself far away and going, well, God's up there and he's holy and mighty and I can't reach him. Well, the Bible says that's not true. That in Jesus, he is so close. So, so close. And it says, when God is close, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Why is there joy in the presence of God? Because suddenly you realize you're not on your own. Actually, no matter how bad it gets, there's a God who's bigger than that. Even if we die, we still have a hope. The worst thing that can happen to us really is death. And ultimately, that's no longer a problem. So I can go, oh, I've got joy in God. He is so, so close. And then Nehemiah 8:10 says, don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, it's interesting here, that word grieve in the Hebrew, which is, I can never say these words, it's atsab. Atsab? I have no idea how you pronounce it. But basically, it kind of means displeasure or grief, but the root of it is to carve out or to fabricate, i.e. don't worry. Stop creating something to worry about. Stop creating an image for yourself of what the future, how bleak it could look. Stop creating some horror story in your mind. And the news is full of it, isn't it? You know, if you look at the news, every day the world's about to end, everything's disastrous. If it's not the Brexit and the pound, it's the fact that there's Donald Trump in the White House, and it's the fact we've got Syria going on, all these problems going on in the world. Let alone all the places we don't hear about that actually there's even worse things going on, but our Western media don't talk about. It seems like the world is just crushing around us. And what it's doing is it's carving out and saying, here's a story, here's a narrative of worry for you in your life. The Bible says, no. Don't carve and create and fabricate a mentality and an issue of worry. Find joy. Go back to God. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. So if you're feeling that actually the world's getting a bit too bleak, and you want to find some joy, get back into the presence of God. Because in his presence there's fullness of joy. And then it goes on to say, so don't grieve, don't carve out that horror story, get it back into his presence, and it says, in his presence there's fullness of joy, and the joy is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. See, and when you have strength, and when you have that confidence that actually God's with me, you can do anything. What does it say in Romans? If God is for us, who can be against us? You see, the enemy, who is very real, wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to rob you of your joy. Why? Because he knows that joy leads to strength, and when we have strength, we get excited, and when we're excited about doing stuff for Jesus, we start doing stuff for Jesus. See, what he wants us to do, he wants to rob us of our joy so we get off the highway. We get off that road. We get out of the game. That's what he's longing for. He wants to rob you of your joy to get you out of the game. Because when you start believing and carving out the horror story of what might be, you're distracted. Your eyes are taken off of the prize of Jesus, and they're distracted away from him. And so you have no desire to start doing things for Jesus because you're scared about what might happen. There's a guy called John Wimber, who's now dead, but he started the Vineyard Movement. And it's a group of churches. And when he came into the church, he came to faith by reading the Bible. He read the Bible and went, okay, I understand this. Went to church and then said to his vicar, so when do we get to do the stuff? And he went, what do you mean? He went, well, when do we get to do the stuff? I read the Bible and they were praying for the sick and seeing them healed. They were bringing hope and joy to people. They were preaching the good news and things were happening. When do we get to do the stuff? And he was like, well, he said, because when I wasn't walking with Jesus, I started playing with some stuff that I shouldn't have been playing with the enemy, and he let me do the stuff. So now I'm following Jesus, I'm going to be doing the stuff that the Bible talks about doing. See, too many of us go, oh, that's a nice story, isn't it? Oh, that gives me a little bit of joy. Nice. But see, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Why? So you get excited and passionate, so then you go, right, I want to change the world. It leads to action. It leads to an adventure. It leads to something new and something exciting. See, I don't want to sit in church every Sunday going, oh, another sermon. Another one for us to forget when we get home. It's all right. We all do it. I can't remember what I preached last week. But this is about inspiring us into the presence of God so that we then find a new strength to then go and start doing stuff. We get back in the game. It's about inspiring us to get back on the highway, back on the road, to start seeing stuff happen. Because when we're on that road, deserts become places where there are springs of water. So as you go about your life, when you remember each day that you need to spend some time with God, you spend some time with God every day to get back into his presence, to restore your joy, so that there's a strength of confidence so that you can start doing the stuff. So that when you're in your workplace, or when you're talking to your neighbour, or when you're out about school, or work, college, wherever you are, you're ready to go, someone's asked for prayer, I'm just going to pray. Why? Because you've got a sense of expectation that God's going to do something, because you've got a strength of confidence that comes from a joy in God. I want to share what I've got with you. I want to share the fact you can be intimately close with the God of heaven and earth. You can be intimately close with him. So the message is the fact that we spend time with God. In his presence there's fullness of joy. That's our position. We position ourselves in his presence. Which then means our posture becomes one of strength. That the joy of the Lord is your strength. Which then means you're ready for the adventure of following Jesus. You're ready for the adventure. This is exciting. I know you're all looking at me going, oh. But this is exciting stuff. The reason why I get so passionate about wanting to explain to you how awesome Jesus is, it's because I believe this stuff. I want to do this stuff. I want to see the world transformed and changed. We live in a world which is so bleak and so dark, and it needs hope and it needs joy. And we are the people that God is saying, I've called you to be the church, the hope of the world. We are the hope of the world. We are the joy to the world in Jesus. We bring Jesus to people. And so if you want to go away from here with something to do, it's this. Think about your time daily with Jesus. How are you going to spend time every day with Jesus? Because as soon as that stops, you start losing your joy, you start losing your confidence, you start losing your strength, and the enemy loves it. You can tell when people are starting to be ineffective for the kingdom as soon as they stop spending time with Jesus every day. I'm not here to try and have a go at you. I'm trying to say, don't stop doing it. It's so important. It's not if you don't do it, God will be mad with you. It's not that. God's saying, I want to spend time with you every day so that you have a joy, that you have a strength, that you have the ability to face every day. So how are you going to spend time with Jesus? The different ways of doing it. This is some basic stuff now, but it's really important we get back to it. It could just be some worship. Put on a worship CD. Have a bit of a sing-song if that's your thing. Just put some worship on and do that every day. In the morning, my alarm clock goes off with a CD in it, so I wake up to music. I wake up to a worship CD every morning. I then normally tend to snooze for a bit as well, but it's nice to snooze in the presence of the Lord. But it's me going, I want to worship every day. I'm really bad at this. Like, I'm a pastor, I find this hard. So I'm not trying to say this is easy, this is hard. So it's going, how can I find ways? Your iPod has a wake-up setting on it. You can wake up to music. Put it on. Just wake it up. Wake up to some worship music. It's where you get instantly into the presence of God. If you want to do that. For you, maybe it might be reading the Bible. It's the way you really connect with God. Get into the Word. Get a reading plan. Get an idea. Work through the two different books of the Bible. Get into that place where you encounter Jesus, where you encounter God. For some of you, you're thinking, oh, I can't do that whole stuff on your own. Like, I find doing quiet time on my own really hard. That's okay. So, do it with other people. So, actually for you, it might be that actually how you connect best with God. And as Laura was saying this morning, where two or three are gathered, Christ is in the midst. So for you, it might be actually you need to find some community to be part of. Which is why small groups are a really important thing. You get part of a small group, you're getting people who you're doing life with week in, week out, who you can pray for each other and things like that, but you come together and it restores your hope and your joy and your strength. It might be you pray with your partner. It might be that you find a friend or a prayer triplet to get part of. Find something that's going to help you have that time with God to restore your strength and your joy. It could be solitude. For you, you might need some time on your own. You might need to go for an early morning walk or a late night walk or a midday walk or whatever it is. Or you might just need to get some time out from the world around you. That's okay. Go, if that's your thing, go do solitude. Go do stuff on your own. For some of you, it might be studying. You might be a geek like me. You might like looking into the Greek and the Hebrew and getting into it. If that's your thing, do that. It could be for some of you, actually, you really connect with God and you feel really close to God when you're serving. That might be your thing. That's a way of encountering Jesus. It's not like a different thing. If you feel really close to Jesus when you're serving, serve. Do that. But recognize that it's a place where you are encountering Jesus. I've just listed a few things there. There's many more. See, we get into this, our heads that we have to do this, 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 and this. No, what God wants you to do is meet him every day. He wants to meet you every day so that then your joy is restored, so that then you have a strength that allows you to go and face the world and be a world changer. That's what he's after. That's what he wants. That's what he longs for. So this morning, as you go away from here, think about this. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the presence of God in your life? Are you spending time with him every day? Somehow, however it works for you. And from that, what are you waiting for in terms of changing the world? Getting out there. The enemy wants to rob you of your joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we're joyful in the Lord, the enemy quakes. The world, the evil world we live in, quakes. Because when the church rises up with joy, where there was deserts and where there was doubts, suddenly there becomes life and there becomes springs of water and there becomes hope and there becomes something exciting. I am excited about Christmas because it reminds us that God is Emmanuel. He is close. He is with us. And because he's with us, in his presence there is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so in strength we go out on the adventure of following Jesus. We get on his highway and we go his way and we do that life and that path. If you're lacking direction this morning, spend some time with Jesus. Get in his presence. Restore your hope, restore your joy, and then see where he leads you. But stay in the game. Get back on the road and follow him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for who you are. Get us excited about you. Let's stay in your presence. Father God, like with John the Baptist, when we're having doubts and we're struggling and our expectations of what we thought were going to happen maybe haven't come to pass, let us just open our eyes in a new way to see what you're doing. Rather than looking at what we want you to do, looking at what you are doing and be reminded of how awesome that is. Thank you that God, who is not slow in things, that you are busy, you are at work in our lives. Father God, we thank you that you are with us, that you're at work in us, and that you've got a path and a way that we can jump onto into your presence, and his name is Jesus. Thank you that through Jesus, we have salvation. We find new life. It says in that passage from Isaiah, verse 4, he will come to save. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to save your world. Thank you you came to save each of us. I thank you that through you, we can know the Father and have life and life eternal. Amen.